From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, we'll go to Santa Barbara, California, just reeling from that mass shooting.
But first, to the Supreme Court, which issued a number of rulings today, including one in a Florida case where the court further extended protections from the death penalty for the mentally disabled, and another in an Oregon case in which the justices ruled in favor of the Secret Service in a free speech case. Joining us to explain the decisions is Emily Bazelon, senior editor for Slate Magazine and a senior research fellow at Yale Law School. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Well, first of all, tell us about this Florida case involving the death penalty.
This Florida case is about a man named Freddie Hall who committed a terrible murder, in fact, two murders in 1978. The question is whether Mr. Hall is too intellectually disabled to constitutionally execute. 12 years ago, the Supreme Court said that it was against the Constitution to execute people who have been deemed, quote, mentally retarded. And the question is that how was Florida measuring mental disability? Florida was using a strict cutoff of 70 points on an IQ score, and the court said today that this was too low and not in sync with professional practices.
That the standard was unconstitutional.
Exactly. And the reason for this is that when experts look at the IQ, they say, you know, this is really a range of scores here. You can't really pinpoint mental disability with one particular number. And they say there is a standard error of measurement of 5 points. So Mr. Hall had scored between 71 and 80 on 7 different IQ tests he took over the years. If you looked at a 5-point measure of error, you would worry that he was, in fact, intellectually disabled in a way that he should not be executed.
Does this affect other states?
It does affect other states. There was an argument between the majority opinion by Justice Kennedy and the dissent by Justice Alito over exactly how many states are affected. At least 2 other states had a rule exactly like Florida's, and there are as many as 10 states that had a rule that could have been interpreted with the same kind of strict IQ cutoff.
Okay, Emily, tell us about this other case. This is an Oregon case that goes back to a 2004 campaign trip to Oregon by then President George W. Bush. What happened?
So this was a case in which the facts were that the Bush campaign showed up at a restaurant in Oregon, and they decided to move out to the patio kind of at the last minute. So the Secret Service had to adjust, and they saw some anti-Bush protesters and some pro-Bush supporters, and they moved the anti-Bush protesters. So it was really clear that the viewpoint, the First Amendment concerns of the anti-Bush protesters informed the Secret Service's decision about how to handle this juggling of the president's schedule.
Now, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals had agreed with the demonstrators. Why did the Supreme Court rule against them?
Well, the Supreme Court said, first of all, that in fact, where the protesters were sitting mattered a lot. And so Justice Ginsburg wrote an opinion for the unanimous court, and she looked at a map of where everyone was sitting, and she said, actually, the anti-Bush protesters were within easy weapons range of the president, whereas the pro-Bush supporters were blocked off by the building. So in other words, there was just a practical reason for the Secret Service to be more worried about the anti-Bush protesters. And I think also the court clearly wants to give a lot of deference to the Secret Service when they are worrying about the president's safety.
And by the way, it was the Obama administration that was arguing for the Secret Service agents here, right?
Right. And when you think about a kind of last minute juggling of where the president is sitting, I think the court really doesn't want to say to the Secret Service, hey, you have to start worrying about the First Amendment and whether you're discriminating against someone based on their views before you can get them out of the way and make sure the president is safe. In other words, the president's safety really has to be paramount.
That was, as you said, a unanimous decision. How common is that these days?
You know, it's more common than a lot of people would think, and here's why. The court tends to be unanimous in a lot of cases we don't cover in the news because they're less interesting, they're easier cases, they're not about the hot button issues like, you know, church state or abortion or guns, where there's this clear ideological split on the court. And so there are a bunch of unanimous decisions. On the other hand, the court tends to be very divided in the cases about which people care most.
Emily Bazelon, senior editor for Slate Magazine and a senior research fellow at Yale Law School. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.